Dashboard Effect Podcast. I'm Brick Thompson.
And I'm Caleb Oakes.
Hey, Caleb.
What's up, Brick?
Really been a long time this time.
It's almost too much.
Yeah, at least 3 minutes since we recorded our last one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what are we talking about in our episode now?
This time, we're going to talk about data warehousing, why it has a bad name, and why it shouldn't.
Okay, good. I like that. And I think as part of that, we're going to talk about, well, actually inherent in the explanation of that is data warehousing then versus now, because the bad name came out of the historical data warehousing. And I think maybe we'll start with that and just kind of actually, why don't we start with defining a couple of really common terms that come up in data warehousing. They're the terms Kimball and Inman, and they actually refer to a couple of different guys. Maybe you can tell us about the Kimball method and the Inman method to get us started.
Sure. So at a very high level, Ralph Kimball, he's one of the data warehousing pioneers, and his argument is that everything in your business should be modeled into dimensional model, which means dimensions, which are things like customers and locations and things that are more static and descriptors of a transaction, and facts, which are the transactions themselves. So you can think of it as if you go to a grocery store and you buy a bunch of groceries, so you buy some apples and some bread or something, the action of scanning that product is the transaction.
Right.
The descriptor is this was an apple and maybe it was Granny Smith apple. Okay. Or this is bread and this is sourdough, that type of thing. So that's what Kimball advocates for. There's a lot of good wisdom in there.
So hang on. So just to make sure it's clear for everybody. So the transaction itself is the fact and the descriptor of what the transaction was, Granny Smith apple, is the dimension.
Exactly.
Probably going too deep on that, but I just want to make sure that was clear.
No, that's right. So you that dimension would be something like item.
Right.
Item
right.
Dimension, something right. Like that. Yep. So that's right. So everything in your business should be modeled that way, according to Kimball. And that's probably overstating it, but at a high level.
Again, that's for data warehouses, not for transactional systems.
For data warehousing. Yep. Right. Exactly. So Bill Inman was another, key figure in data warehousing, and he advocated for copying your source transactional system. So where Kimball wants you to essentially do some transformations and put things in dimensions and facts, Inman wants you to take your database structure as is on the back end of your ERP or something and put it directly into your data warehouse and then model what he calls data marts on top of that data.
Right. So basically making a copy of the transactional database and then as a separate step, creating these data marts, which are presumably denormalized a bit so that they're easier to deal with when you're creating the reports.
Right. Right. And so denormalization is that process of dimensions and facts. Normalization is what Inman advocates for, which is pulling tables apart, which is how most application databases are built for, ease and performance. And for
saving on storage space, which used to be expensive, not so much anymore, but it used to be a big consideration. Why did Inman want that sort of normalized database?
Yeah, so he has a good argument for it, and it's a good question. So I'll save that for a little bit later in the discussion. But the Inman thought it was easier to pull the data that way and then do your modeling down the road. It makes loading your data warehouse a lot simpler. It also makes adding different sources to your data warehouse a little bit easier because you have a smaller tables are more specific. So the differences between transactional systems aren't exaggerated as much when you're trying to load things into it. When you get into the Kimball method, you're making those transformations early on. So if you make a mistake early on, then you kind of have to do some rework if you're pulling another one.
You have to deal with that. Yeah. If you're pulling in a different different data source that just doesn't match up well with that structure that you built in the Kimball model, you may have to go redo some plumbing.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Well, and I know that here at Blue Margin, we don't adhere to one or the other strictly. We sort of do a hybrid approach to that. And what does that look like?
So we use a lot of Kimball. I'd say we're primarily Kimball modeling. Now, what we've learned is that there's obvious pitfalls to it. So we've adapted it, right? And Kimball is a lot more than just the way that the data gets modeled. He has a whole philosophy behind it and how you go about getting requirements, which we'll get into in a second. But so we're primarily Kimball, and we'll mix in some Inman methodologies here and there. So one of the good examples I can give is in your data warehouse, you typically have different layers. So you'd have a staging layer, which is holds some raw data, and typically it's just delta records, so changed and new. And then you use that layer to populate your second layer, or our second layer, which we use called persisted staging, which is essentially everything that was in the source. And then from there, we build our data warehouse.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a hybrid between Kimball and Inman.
Yeah. Okay. So mostly Kimball, but then you bring in elements of Inman when it's advantageous.
I like to think of it as the best of both worlds.
Very good. All right. So the old approach, we can not talk about Kimball and Inman anymore, but the old approach for building a data warehouse was very monolithic, very waterfall. Maybe you can I can give a quick sketch of that. So imagine you've just been hired, Caleb. You're going to be in charge of data and analytics for a company. And when you get there, you realize there is no true data warehouse. There's maybe a couple of operational data stores, ODSs, lots of departmental spreadsheets we've talked to before, magic sheets even. And maybe even a couple of MySQL, MySQL databases, and you've got departmental business analysts who are using those to try to get to good reporting. All right, so you got kind of an immature data environment and kind of a mess on your hands. So you've been charged with fixing that.
I'm hiring Blue Margin.
Are you excited? Are you coming back for your second day?
I'm going to hire Blue Margin. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay, yeah. But in my story, you can't.
All right. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yep. Okay. So you decide that in order to get to good data governance, you know, consistency, alignment on measures, good master data management, consistent KPIs, all that stuff, you need to build a centralized data warehouse. Congratulations. Good decision.
Party.
All right. So you do hire a partner, not Blue Margin, unfortunately. You hire them to help you build this out, and they come in with a traditional approach. And you spend, I don't know, let's say you're a, you know, sort of medium-sized enterprise. I don't know, maybe you're $250 million, $500 million in revenue. And so you've got a lot of stakeholders you've got to deal with, and you spend 6 months on requirements and design. You're trying to get aligned on metrics, measures, KPIs, all of that stuff. You're trying to figure out what are all the data sources. You're talking to all these departmental business analysts and trying to figure out what their needs are. But let's say over 6 months, you get that design together. Great. Now you're ready to start building. How are you feeling?
I feel like I'm not doing a very good job in this story.
All right. Let's
I'm doing the best I can though, right?
We're going to call you Mike from now on. It's no longer Caleb. So for Mike, getting alignment across department heads is, I mean, it's like fighting 100 different skirmishes. But finally, you get sign-off, and you've got what in the old data warehouse world we would refer to as the canonical data model, and you're ready to start building. So you start development in month 7, and you have a plan to launch a data warehouse in month 18. You're giving yourself a year and a month to get it done. But in month 10, you're starting to hear things from the business that make you start to worry about the design. You've done some acquisitions. There's new data sources. You've got new executives that think about the data differently. But you figure, no problem. I'll just adjust the design, extend the project timeline a couple of months, and keep going.
The dreaded migration.
How are you feeling about your job now?
I'm thinking I might get fired.
All right. And let's say the same type of thing keeps on happening, because it always does over the life of the project. But finally, let's say in month, I don't know, somewhere between 2 years and 3 years, you're finally ready to launch the data warehouse. Let's call it 36 months. Unfortunately, you find in the first few weeks of use that individual departments are kind of slow. They're unwilling to give up their own departmental data stores. They're used to them. They get what they need when they want it. They can adjust it when they want to. So they're not adopting your data warehouse. And really, because of the compromises you made along the way, it actually changed some of the requirements they had given you early on. So they don't quite trust it. They don't fully understand it. They don't like the new data warehouse. The changes to get fully dialed in are not easy. It's going to take you a while. It's time consuming. Oh, I'm sorry. You got fired in month 40.
All right.
All right. So that's my story of the old data warehouse. Why don't you contrast that for me with how we do it now?
Sure. So, you know, there were a lot of reasons why that methodology was followed, you know, and Kimball actually advocated for that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, let's figure it all out, understand how all the data plays together, and let's build something. Unfortunately, in today's business environment, that's just, you can't do it. You can't do that. And that's why it got a bad name, right?
And you can't, mostly just because it's fast moving. There's pivoting. There's integrations to do on purchases of companies, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Software's changing. You know, everything's changing quickly.
It does. Yeah. It changes so fast. And more than just the technology behind it, also what changes is just people's needs, right? You find a number today and then, you know, next month you need something totally different. So if you spend months, 6 months planning, what you set out to build now needs to be totally different. You got to spend another 6 months planning it out.
Yeah.
You know, and you're never going to get going.
And we just had a change like that here at our small company at Blue Margin. Luckily, we weren't on the old data warehouse model.
That's right. That's right.
That's another story though.
Yeah. So what we do, and kind of the principle that we hold, is everything that enters the data warehouse has a purpose. So we build to report requirements. So as you set out, let's say you have a requirement of needing a sales report, for example, we're going to go get the data, build it in a way that gives you your sales report quickly, and then leaves us flexible for changes down the road. We're not going to go talk to operations and finance and see how their data interacts with sales data. It's not worth it. We're just going to get you your sales report. But we leave that door open for further integrations down the road.
So in other words, you can come in, we can come in and do reporting in a very high value area where it's needed right now without having to worry that, oh no, we've made a design decision that's going to cost us, leave us a bunch of technical debt when we want to add some other area of the business, some other fact area.
Exactly. And a lot of what's different between then and now is the cloud. Right. What that enables for us.
So tell me about that.
So let's say that you have this example where you've got a sales report and you stand up a quick Azure SQL database, something small. It's not very expensive. You load your data, you build your report. Fantastic. Then the next month you're saying, all right, well, we need to improve our monthly close process. So we need our finance data in our warehouse, what we're terming it now. And you know, you need it quickly. So you, all of a sudden now you have more data, and let's say it's substantially more data inside of your data warehouse. So you need more power.
Okay.
On the old way, you might have to go purchase a server, you know, in the extreme example, or you may need to do something that's time consuming to give yourself that.
And then a big migration and.
Right.
All that involves.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's another thing to manage for your team. It's a big production. Contrast that with the cloud. You slide a little slider in your web browser and in 30 seconds, you've doubled the size of your database and the power of it. So you're ready to go. You know, it's, you can move so much faster and things are so much more accessible, even for the little guys now.
Yeah. That makes sense. So tell me about it. Let's say that you've built this this little data warehouse just around the fact area of sales data. So you can do this sales report. And I'm going to give you two examples that I'd like you to speak to. One is, let's say you now buy another smaller company. They also have sales data, but they look at it a little differently. But you want it in the data warehouse so you can report. How do you deal with that?
It's a good question. And the answer is quite long, but we'll do another episode. I'll give you the high level.
You weren't going to say it depends, were you?
No, not this time. Not this time. There's a right way to do it, this one. So you have your sales model, and let's say you've got some facts and dimensions per the true Kimball form. And there's going to be some overlap. There's always overlap between two systems that look at the same data. So you're going to have things like sales reps. Now, they may be called different things in the source systems, but they're this functionally the same pieces of data. So you create these things called conform dimensions, which will have data from both systems, in the same sales rep dimension. And then your fact tables, here's where most people get tripped up, is that they try to conform their facts. That's a mistake. You need to leave them separate. So in your example, sometimes it's that clear, like they look at it slightly differently. Most of the time, business users think that they look at it the same way. Data should work the same way. It should be no problem. And unfortunately, people make the mistake of thinking that technically on the back end, it also does. It doesn't. So you need to leave those facts separate. You can pull them together in your reporting layer, but if you put them together in your data warehouse, you're only setting yourself up for more work than you need to later on down the road.
Okay, let me translate. Correct me if I get it wrong. So you always use conform dimensions, meaning that a dimension like customer name, you use that same dimension table with the same customer name for both of those data sources. But the sales transactions themselves, you leave those separate. So you have two different fact tables. Even though they're both sales transactions, they're separate.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so I don't want to take this down too technical a discussion, but you still got to deal with getting those two different sets of sales transactions to look the same so that you can do a report. How do you do it?
Mm-hmm. So that's the next layer that I didn't talk about earlier on in our data warehouse, which is our reporting view layer, which is where you do things like that. You may do some light transformations on your data. You may need to do some highly variable business logic calculation in that layer, but that's where you're going to pull things together. It leaves you very nimble, and it leaves that source's fact data, the most important part, arguably, in its original form, not original form, but close to its original form, to where you can do many types of analysis on it in your warehouse. So you stay flexible, but you also meet your requirement of needing to pull those two sources together.
Yep. And then you represent those in what's called an OLAP cube, not to get too complicated here, but into a reporting view that the reporting, the report builder or the business analyst can connect to, and they don't have to think about the fact that there are two different sets of data for the sales transactions.
Yep.
Okay. That's great. All right. What else do you want to say about modern data warehouses?
So, you know, I know I've mentioned this briefly already, but when you're setting out to build a warehouse, you don't go after all the technical specifications, try and gather all the requirements. You look at what does the business need right now, and you build that.
So very much an agile approach.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're trying to deliver value all along the way. And if you do that in the right way, you also leave yourself open to the changes in the business without causing yourself more headache. So, or having to rebuild from scratch. Now, it's not foolproof, right? You may find yourself in that situation where it just makes sense. But if you do it that way, at least you've gleaned the value that you needed all along the way. And then it's not so painful when maybe you do have to do something different. You know, you're delivering value to the business. That's the biggest thing, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I have another story for you.
All right.
Okay. So this guy, Mike, he gets hired by a $500 million mid-market enterprise to come in and be in charge of data and analytics for a company. he gets there, he realizes there's no true data warehouse. Well, that's not likely in a $500 million company. All right, $100 million. There's a couple of ODSs. They may have little bits of data warehouses and departments and so on. He realizes he needs to build a true data warehouse. And in order to get the good governance, the consistency, the alignment on measures, all that stuff, he brings in a partner. He brings in you, Caleb.
Oh, that good move, Mike.
Here's the good news. So you're going to spend, I don't know, some small number of weeks gathering requirements, figuring out where's our highest impact area to do reporting. You realize it's in the sales department. You work with the key stakeholders in the sales department and maybe the executives above the sales department, maybe the COO, maybe CFO, CEO, get alignment there, but on this narrow area. You build a modern data warehouse and you're building reports. You're giving the data, the business analysts access to that data, let's say within the first 60 to 90 days, and are able to build reports and deliver value that's actually giving ROI on that project right from the start. Good news. You're a hero. You didn't get fired.
I get a raise.
How do you like that story?
That's way better.
All right. So, what did I miss in there?
I think that's pretty good. I mean, we went from, 18 months all the way into 4 years to 90 days.
Yeah.
That's
about
right.
And, you know, there are things that can make that take shorter. There are things that can make that take longer. But the flexibility and the ability to be agile in the approach to this development is really the key here.
It is. Yeah. And it's something that, like I said, businesses haven't had before. They really haven't had the option for various reasons. But now you do. So let's do that.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do.
That's right. That's
what
we do.
All right. Anything else you want to add on this topic, Caleb?
I hope that this gets some traction into changing the bad name of data warehousing. You know, data warehousing is not bad if you do it right.
Yeah, yeah. Are you having trouble at cocktail parties? Are people looking at you funny when you tell them what you do?
I don't know. I get a lot of people, they know only the bad of data warehousing. Yeah. And, no one likes to be that guy at a party.
I know. I don't like to be that guy.
I hate it.
All right. Thanks, Caleb. I wrote down a few topics for future podcasts. So great discussion. Thanks for sharing your knowledge there. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thanks, Brick.